Aye.
That motion carries. Could I move Senator Cohen's page 105A, defining that it be inserted as the next section after section 4?
This is...
Whether that should be a paragraph, another paragraph of section 4, or a separate section, I leave up to Eric Carlson to figure out if the committee doesn't mind.
All right, we'll refer to this as Cohen's Amendment 105A for the record. Now, that's the motion. Discussion.
Well, as Senator Cohen has already said, this eliminates punitive damages claims against a list of health practitioners licensed, registered, or certified as, or the list. It includes psychologists to pharmacists with a lot of people.
Well, I think it goes under punitive damages.
Especially includes physicians.
Excludes.
Well, excludes from punitive damages, yes.
And it says they have to be engaging in conduct regulated by the license. Does that in some, I guess Senator Cohen would probably know, if that in some way allows the seeking of punitive damages if they're doing something that's not part of the conduct that's regulated?
Yes.
Hope so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes,
like
that's
if
why.
You were an audiologist and you're performing an abortion or something like that?
Yes. Okay. That's exactly what that is there. Thanks, Derek, who's
right.
Fixed it up for us.
Further
so
discussion.
At least we've said that's in their business of doing.
I have not had a chance to run this specific language by legislative counsel, but I assume at this point you're adopting this in concept. And
yes.
Okay.
All right. Any further discussion on that? Any objection to excluding all these people from punitive damages claims? All right. That amendment will be considered adopted in concept then.
I've got something more on punitive damages if we've got time. Or do you want to?
Let's see now. Go ahead.
Could I pass this out?
All right.
Eric Carlson, well, here, I'll just keep one. There's some for you and some for me. Mr. Carlson, Eric Carlson has prepared this at my request, and it's page 114A, and it comes right after the section on caps for non-economic damages, which after my inquiring of Mr. Carlson about this, he agreed with me that there's a problem the way we have it now that our cap on non-economic damages would also cap punitive damages, which I asked him to check with the counsel from the interim committee, the interim task force, and she advised him, I understand, that it was the intent of the interim task force, she thought, to have punitive damages be outside the limitation on non-economic damages, and that this was an oversight in drafting that left the language in such a way that if we cap non-economic damages, we would also cap punitive damages. Then that's subsection 3 to section 11. And subsection 4 is a suggestion from Professor Vetri from some discussions during the interim. The jury shall be advised the limitations set forth in this section.
Let's see now. Senator, you're getting ahead of me here just a bit. We're talking about these amendments as applying to section 11, right?
Yes.
And subsection 3 of the amendments would go where now?
Well, it would...
They would follow subsection 2 of section 11.
Okay, I see.
And what they would say is that the cap does not apply to punitive damages.
All right, and then, I see that. Now, subsection 4, then, to explain the rationale for that, would you please, Senator?
That would be that if you're going to place a limitation on the amount that a jury can award for non-economic damages, they should be told that. As part of what happens in the trial,
the jury should be instructed that there's a limit on the amount they can award for non-economic damages.
Correct.
That's the purpose of it.
Right.
reason that I was asked to bring this to your attention is that if it is not set out specifically by the legislature how this to be treated, it will come up as a matter of instructions in an early case, probably be appealed. It will end up with the Supreme Court making the decision. My understanding is that when the comparative negligence language was first developed, that such an appeal, there was no such language from the legislature. An appeal was taken as to whether a jury should be advised about the percentage of fault that a plaintiff had to have in order to recover, and the Supreme Court decided that the jury was not to be so advised, so that the statute was then amended by the next legislature to provide that the jury would be advised. Eventually, I think I will, if you adopt the concept of this, I will want to look at that specific language and see if it's appropriate. This is here simply to raise the concept for the committee's consideration.
All right. Any discussion on this?
No, I'd move the amendments, Mr. Chairman.
Senator, I'll tell you what, before I take that motion, let me just suggest something to the committee. I think, depending on how you've received what I'm going to say here, you might or might not want to continue with subsection 4 of the amendment. Just set it over there for a moment, please. We will probably end up with a bill that imposes limit on non-economic damages that can be awarded. I mean, it's certainly in the task force bill. That's the $500,000. I mean, at this particular moment, I don't know whether that's going to be in the final product of this committee, but my guess is that there will be some limit. My feeling also is that there is a serious question as to whether a limit on general damages, which may be awarded by an Oregon jury, would be constitutional. We have a section in the Oregon Constitution that I know confidently would be used to argue that a cap on damages is unconstitutional. And the section I'm thinking of says in effect, I can't quote a chapter and verse, but it says in effect that every person shall have a remedy by due course of law for injury done him in his person, property, or reputation. I think that's the substance of it. Similar constitutional clauses have been raised in appellate courts in other states to attack a limitation. In some cases, the court has said, yes, that's unconstitutional, the legislature can't do it. In other cases, the court said, no, the legislature can do it. It certainly depends upon what the Supreme Court of a particular state decides the constitutional language means in that particular instance. Now, what I'm getting at is, I don't think that we want subsection 4 in here, because I think that a jury, eventually this is going to be an issue on appeal, and I think that a jury should be free to award whatever damages it feels it should, just the way it's always done. And then, of course, if say there is a limit of $500,000, and say the jury awards $1 million, the court then is going to enter a judgment for $500,000. The plaintiff is going to say to the Supreme Court, we should get a judgment for the full amount of $1 million because the limitation is unconstitutional. But if we have this in here, you see, the jury will never return anything in excess of what it's told the limit is. So the jury is going to be told the limit's $500,000. The jury may well think it's more, but will be powerless to award more, and therefore the issue will never reach the court on appeal. That's my thinking on it.
For tonight, since we're not finishing this bill tonight anyway, I would like to then move.
Go ahead.
I'd rather move 3 and sleep on what you just said.
Well, is that all right? I mean, if there's sure. Is there any objection to doing it that way?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Bingham.
I'd certainly be willing to see what kind of cap we end up with before settling this issue.
Bill, it stands as it is. There's no amendments.
Pardon?
Unless you offer an amendment.
Well,
I did, and it went down. I was willing to offer another one, but we never got to that point the other day.
All right. Here's where we are right now. Procedurally, The motion is, I think Senator Cohen's motion, isn't it? Senator Cohen has moved the Wires 114A Amendment Subsection 3 element. Is that correct? Did I state it correctly? Okay. Any further discussion on that?
That just says this section does not apply to punitive damages. Yes. Nothing about what the jury's told.
That's right. And we'll take that question up.
I would reserve my judgment until I find out where we end up on cap and non-economic damages. I'll vote no now, but I'm open to changing my mind later once we get past that cap section.
We'll be free. Someone will be free to raise that again if you want to. All right. Do you want to call a roll on that, please?
No.
Brockman.
No.
Cohen.
Aye.
Hamby.
Aye.
Hill.
Aye.
Wires.
Aye.
Fry.
Aye. Well, that carries. Now, let's see. Council, have you got here?
I have four sets.
All right. I'm going to pass out. I'm just kind of taking things in the order that they come up in the bill here, and we'll pass out some more things for you to look at.
You take one of each, or are they all?
The whole.
One packet.
One packet.
The
first page actually has already been handed out to you. The first page of this packet is the Section 5 that you got earlier.
What's that?
Ask Eric a question.
Okay.
First page that
this
is crossed out.
The one we just got through doing. This is
the one that says punitive damages on the top is really the first page of this packet of stuff you have.
Yeah. I just had them run it in here because I wanted something to do while we were waiting for the rest of it. So we're looking at I propose that Section 6 be deleted. I propose that Section 7 be deleted in the bill. That's what these...
Well, I'm taking them one page at a time.
Well, I thought we'd already disposed of that.
Did you want to do something about the public bodies?
Well, that's already in the bill.
Yeah.
It's handwritten stuff here, though.
Yes, that's in the bill.
No. I need to clarify that. On this page that says punitive damages, which I'm sorry, we're handing out
Section
stuff
two.
That's not numbered at the bottom. Yeah, there's a handwritten sub 2 which says...
Of Section 2.
Oh, yes, that is new. I'm sorry.
This section does not apply to insurers of a public body as defined in 3260.
I will look at council. Explain that.
Yeah. The county council folks got together yesterday afternoon at 4 o'clock and looked at the bill and said, oh, my God, this isn't going to work. They need to be able to insure against punitive damages in Section 1983 suits in federal courts. And so they asked that this amendment be put in as a protection for taxpayers, essentially. And what it provides is that that insurance for public bodies is an exception to your prohibition against insuring punitive damages. It allows, obviously, the city of Newport to buy insurance against punitive damages and primarily covers Section 1983 suits.
Then all the good citizens of Newport who are eventually going to be on a jury will know that tried in Newport anyway, and be tried in federal court.
And I assume the general rules about mentioning insurance would not come up.
Insurers have funny ways of finding things.
Well,
Well, is there
anyway, that's the purpose.
Is there any objection to it? Any objection to that?
I object till I know more about it. I just have a problem about we're going to say we're going to reduce the cost of insurance by saying that people can't insure against it, and then we're going to have the local governments go on paying probably an exorbitant rate to some insurance company for 1983 actions, which are very difficult to win. So somebody, some county bureaucrat can feel very comfortable that they would have a big judgment have to be paid all at once, but they'll pay out a zillion bucks over a long period of time. I have a problem with it, but...
Well, the alternative, of course, is that the city may find itself in federal court and no insurance protection and hanging out on a punitive damage claim. That's the thing we're trying to get at here.
The other consideration that Mr. Snyder brought up is that if they are not allowed to insure against punitive damages, what they end up doing is having their insurance counsel for the underlying claim and then hiring a separate attorney to defend on the punitive damages claim, and that it makes it difficult to coordinate the parts of the lawsuit, for whatever that's worth.
Well, I agree with Senator Warren's sentiments. As far as I'm concerned, we shouldn't be allowed to insure against punitive damages anywhere, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You'll see them spend the money on the medical care, so they... To make out a 1983 action, you've got to show there's a pattern of denying very basic things, like somebody gets shot and thrown in jail, and you don't take him to the hospital and get his bullet wound treated, things like that. You can't just go and say, "Oh, they were mean."
Well, we have a meeting set for Monday at 5:30 in case we don't get done tonight.
This isn't
and
the whole world.
Okay. Yeah, Senator Hill.
Mr. Chairman, I have the reason I asked you before how long we're going to go is Representative Ekus and I are supposed to go up to Portland with.
Right.
The Public Utility Commissioner.
Yes.
That was set some time ago, and we have to leave at 6:15.
Yes, I understand, and Senator Cohen also has to leave, and so we're going to go until 6:15. You can stay until 6:15?
I can stay until 6:15.
Okay,
I'm
supposed
to meet him to drive up at 6:15.
Right, we're going to have to adjourn at 6:15.
I can stay later, but I think we ought not to be taking these kind of... this important with missing members.
That's so true. I agree with
but
that.
But I would suggest that we make a decision on this or set it aside or whatever we're going to do
with
this piece.
We'll set it aside, I think, and let Senator...
Maybe some people feel strongly about it.
I had to bend to the majority will of the committee. This is not a huge point.
What I was going to suggest...
If you want to move on it, I'm not going to...
Let's just vote it up and down.
All right.
I mean, it's
all
an
right.
issue. It's clear. It's a public policy issue. Nobody's going to, with all due respect, Eric, no additional information is going to add to our determination here about how we feel about this. You either make the decision or you don't, because I think we're clear on the phone. It's not as much of gathering any additional information.
Okay. Then the motion then is to add the handwritten subsection 2. Call the roll on that.
Aye.
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Andy?
Aye.
Bill?
Aye.
Wire?
No. Motion passes. Now, then we were going over here to a deletion of Section 6 and 7, and I'll just tell you that there are two or three issues that are so important in this bill that where there are genuine intellectual differences of opinion that I really kind of hate to get bogged down on this point. This is my own opinion at this point in time with sections that I know very well are not going to make any difference in terms of the bottom line we're all trying to get at. That's this matter of liability insurance, affordability, and availability. And I just don't happen to think personally that sections 6 and 7 really add anything. And I can be more specific on why I feel this way, but I'd like to buzz through this thing and get rid of some of the stuff in this bill here that's not terribly controversial. I mean it's meaningless. That's my rationale for it. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have problems with 7, Mr. Chair, but unless you want
to... Let's take a look at 6
together,
first.
You want to...
6?
Yeah.
6 alone?
Is there any discussion on that?
I'm not in favor of getting rid of that section. I'd like to make some changes. In fact, I've turned in an amendment for the committee. That's one of the areas that causes me the greatest concern. And I'm not willing to throw it out of this bill.
All right. Any further discussion?
Look at his amendment Monday.
Any further discussion on this, then? at this time? We'll take a look at that. All right. I take it you would. We don't have unanimity on this.
Would you like the amendment handed out now, or should?
I thought it had been passed out.
Is that dash 8?
Well, it's no.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask if we're going to be another 10 minutes. Let's act on the amendments you brought here and try and get moving.
I'd kind of like to do that because at least then we can do some other things on Monday. Is that all right to kind of move through here? Well, the motion is on deletion of Section 6. There is apparently an objection, so I guess we'll call a roll.
No.
Rockland?
No.
Cohen?
Aye.
Aye.
Wires?
Aye.
Aye. That carries. Section 7.
I move to delete Section 7.
Senator Wires moved to delete Section 7. Now, discussion on that.
Senator Hill says he objects strongly. I'll withdraw my motion.
If Senator Hill says he objects strongly?
just Senator Hill.
Because I'll tell you why. The other night I made a big blather here, and then Senator Hill voted no, and was late, and we were all tired, and I told him afterward, if he felt strongly about it, I wasn't going to argue any more about this. But since it's come up again, I still feel the same way, and I'm going to move it.
Any discussion on that? Any objection?
Yes.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Senator Hill, do you have any problem with this yourself?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm going to have to leave my vote as it was the other evening.
Pardon, sir?
Evening. I do object to the deletion.
You object to deleting?
I do.
I'm sorry. I guess I forgot the discussion you and Senator Wires
had.
We
had a vote on it, actually.
We had
all these
vote
sections.
On it.
I'll withdraw my motion then on this Section 7, if that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Senator Wires, if we haven't, you know, we still haven't had a chance to talk about it.
No.
If you want to.
Maybe talk about it.
Okay,
no.
Let's skip that for now then.
All right.
Let's skip that for now. The next page has to do with a prejudgment interest. And I would call the attention of the members to, well, it has to do with an amendment I'm suggesting to Section 8 of the bill. You recall the discussion here earlier about how, if you had this interest run from the time of the filing of the claim, and then you had a plaintiff that refused to negotiate, or it would be unfair to run the interest clear back to the time the complaint was filed. So the first thing I'm suggesting is that the prejudgment interest, in those cases where the plaintiff recovers more than the offer, run from the date of demand. That could be the day of trial, or it could be a week before, or it could be a long time before, but that would be the kickoff date instead of the filing of the complaint. Mm-hmm. Second point is just a procedural point, how I visualize this thing would come up after trial. And so what I'm saying is that when the plaintiff files the cost bill, the plaintiff would put in the cost bill the information that would be necessary to determine if and when the prejudgment interest was triggered. And the cost bill would simply say that the plaintiff made a demand for X number of dollars of the defendant on a certain date. The defendant refused to meet the demand. And then if there's an argument about it, of course, the court would have a hearing. But that's how simple it would be. That's the procedural way of handling it.
I'd move the chairman's amendment as hand engrossed to Section 8.
All right. Senator Wires, move that. Senator Cohen?
No, I just wanted to make sure we're talking about the same piece of paper here.
Right. Okay. Further discussion?
Can I make a motion
Senator Brockman?
That motion?
Pardon?
Can I make a motion to supersede that motion?
You may move to amend the motion, yes.
Amend the motion by deleting Sections 8 and 9 from the bill.
All right. I don't know is that... I have some doubts as to whether that amendment would be in order because I don't worry about it. We'll vote on that first. The motion by Senator Brockman is to delete Sections 8 and 9. Any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Brenneman.
I don't know. Did you have any discussion?
No.
I agree with Senator Brockman. I think we're in an area here of trying to lower insurance rates, and I don't think that these sections are appropriately placed in this bill.
And I think it also is a indication of a presumption of guilt.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hamby.
I think the record will show that approximately 30 days ago, we conceptually all agreed that we would separate out the issue of prejudgment interest and attach it to another vehicle, so I'm very disappointed to see it come up again this year.
Well, you can vote accordingly then. The thrust of this, of course, is what was passed in the last legislative session, as we all know. And it's just a matter of whether you think it's fair or not, and that's about it. All right. Call the roll on Senator Brockman's motion.
That's to delete Section
89. Yes, it is.
Senator Brennan?
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Cohen?
No.
No.
Wires?
No.
Fry?
No, that motion fails. Now the motion before the House is to the amendment, the Hand and Gross amendment that's shown for section, well, there's a little one there in section 9.2. You notice the words or decree are stricken because a decree would not be applicable. We're talking about judgments here. We only have decrees in domestic relations cases. Isn't that right, you lawyers out there? Is that the way it works? I think that's true. So that's just to be accurate in terms of language. So that's the motion then. Amendments, Hand and Gross amendments are shown on this page beginning section 8. Any discussion? Call the roll on that, please.
Brennan?
No.
Brockman?
No.
Cohen?
Aye.
Hamby?
No.
Hill?
Aye.
Wires?
Aye. Aye, that motion carries.
I'd move Section 10, which is just says that a contingent fee agreement has to be written in plain and simple language reasonably believed to be understandable by the plaintiff.
Any objection to that?
Just give me a minute here. This is the one.
That's the written fee agreement.
This was the one, Mr. Chair, that I thought, again, 30 days ago or so.
Yeah, we did.
Amended with the American Bar Association's recommendation. Didn't we move?
No, I don't remember that. No. Any objection to this? All right, so ordered.
Before you go on, there is this phrase about civil action to recover damages arising out of bodily injuries, death, loss of consortium, etc., in a great many of these. It seems to me that to forestall any argument in a future lawsuit that you meant something different if the words are different, that the words ought to be the same all the way through. I think that the words used in the next section to come up, section 11, are a good way to put it. That is, a civil action arising out of bodily injury, including emotional injury, distress, death, or property damage, including claims for loss of care, comfort, companionship, society, and loss of consortium. If you would allow me to, I would simply put that language in every one of these sections where that arises so that it would be consistent.
Well,
if that's not appropriate,
it's not inappropriate, but with all due respect, I think that the way it's worded, any damages arising out of bodily injuries and so forth covers all this other stuff that happens to be spelled out in more detail. I don't know. It's not necessary.
Okay.
It wouldn't add anything, rather than monkey around with it.
Well,
what do you think?
Mr. Chairman, I think you do need the definition in Section 11 because you're trying to define between economic and non-economic.
That is right.
And
there.
That's why you need it there.
You need it there.
And I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know how much that confuses the lawyers who try to read two pages and can't get the right words.
I don't think it's necessary myself, but if anybody else does.
It was raised by Professor Vetri. I raise it simply because lawyers have been known to point to language differences like that and say the legislature therefore must have meant something different when the legislature didn't think about that issue.
Pretty straightforward, I think.
Yeah. Well,
you can think about it.
Listen, the record will show.
The record will show. It's 616, and Senator.
We've got one more issue left here. Do you have anything? What are you doing here with Section 11?
It's like there's about eight more.
Yeah, we got, yes, there's quite a bit more, Senator Cohen.
What are you doing with collateral source, just out of curiosity?
I think I'm recommending it be deleted.
Deleted, okay.
Are you going to act on Section?
Well, I don't want to hang up the people that just can't stay here now. That's all there is to it.
Is it done? Are there any technical changes we need to make to 11?
Technical changes?
Other than assuming we leave the policy change, we're leaving it as?
Well, he's got this per person in there to make it clear that.
You want to do that one?
Well, I'm satisfied with the way Section 11 stands as we voted it, except for whatever technical changes that Eric has tried to put together here.
Yeah.
And I think we ought to adopt the technical changes to get them out of the way.
Well, I'd move then the hand engrossed Section 11. It starts out with the 1 being changed to a 2. By putting per person in there, you make it absolutely clear. Some might say that's being overly cautious, but that if there are several people hurt in the same injury, each of them have a capped non-economic damages limit.